Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Fitness Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, well, as you know, we are known far and wide as fitness gurus.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, has your new diet book, the Dunkin' Donuts diet, come out yet?
No, not yet. But I have a letter here from Ron Spire, who says he was inspired to greater fitness by us.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me guess. He took our advice. His car broke down, and he has to walk 50 miles a day.
No, but that's a good guess. But here's what he says. Here he is, his letter. Dear Click and Clack, while countless listeners have learned that you guys know absolutely nothing about cars...
Check.
Very few know the one useful thing about your show. You promote physical fitness. See? Mm-hmm. While preparing for my first marathon the past few months, I needed something to fill countless hours of pounding the pavement. So I downloaded a bunch of your podcasts, and I set out on a run, repeating this torture every weekend. To my shock and surprise, as the weeks went along, I found I was running faster and faster. I attribute this directly to your show and my desire to hurry up and finish the run so I could stop listening to you bums. Perhaps you can parlay this testimonial into a fitness infomercial.
We just did.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ron. He says, wait, there's a P.S. My new goal is 26 miles before you get to the puzzler answer.
Wow.
That may require the use of a car.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or your fitness regimen, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rendy from Fort Collins, Colorado.
R-E-N-D-I?
That's exactly right.
That's how I spelled it, too.
Is it a nickname?
Nope, that's my my given birth name.
Really?
What is from whence does Rendy come?
So I was born in the 60s, so I think it's a product of Pabst Blue Ribbon and cheap drugs.
Oh, I got it. It isn't a byproduct, it's a product.
It's a product, yeah.
We got it.
And where'd you say you were from?
Fort Collins, Colorado.
Uh-huh. Got it. Okay. Rendy, go ahead.
Okay, so I have a timeshare on a 91 BMW convertible. And lately, when I go to press the brakes, a light comes on called the brake lining light.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, what the heck's a brake lining? And the second part of it is, we're getting ready to put the convertible in storage for the winter, and sort of wonder, should we have it fixed before we put it into storage, or can it wait until we bring the convertible back out in the spring?
I love it.
Oh, so do I. They're going to put it away for the winter.
Yeah.
I don't.
We're contemplating putting Tommy away for the winter, but we haven't found anyone that would house him yet.
I've been thinking of putting the Fiat away for the winter.
Oh, so have we. So have we, but not the way you think. Anyway, there's something called a wear indicator on brake pads. It's a little reed of metal that vibrates and makes an unpleasant noise so that you know your brakes are worn out. Well, BMW is a little more sophisticated than that. And rather than having this annoying little squeak, what they have is a little electrical sensor that's attached to the pad. And when the brakes are worn out, this little electrical sensor comes in contact with the metal disc and completes the circuit to ground and turns on the light that tells you that your brake linings are worn out.
Mm.
Pretty nice, eh?
Yes, very nice.
So the question is, do you have to do it before the winter? And the answer is no, you do not.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you do it before you've worn the linings out completely.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you should do it when you get the car out again.
Yeah, and there's no percentage in doing it now. I mean, this thing is going to be in a garage for the winter.
Right.
Well,
right.
I mean, a meteor could hit the garage.
Yeah.
While it's, you know, in the next couple of months.
Why fix it now?
Why fix it now? If a meteor takes it out, you say, oh, damn it. We spent $600 on that brake job and it got taken out by a meteor.
I love it.
Yeah. So I would wait. I'd make the appointment now just in case. You can always cancel it.
Okay.
All right.
Very good news.
See you, Rendy.
Okay, thanks.
Should I use the same philosophy here with my Fiat?
About what?
Not fixing things in the winter?
I don't think you should fix things ever. Car tuck. Yeah, I mean, we're trying to arrange. Nissenbaum's and I are trying to arrange a meteor hit, but it's called the Crusher. I wonder if we could pull it off. Make you think that it got struck by a meteor. No, huh?
It's a great car.
No, it isn't. No, Tommy, I don't know how to break it to you, but you own one jalopy. I gotta say, you look pretty good today. You're pretty well dressed,
really?
And yeah, well coiffed. It's a nice outfit you're wearing. Is that a Lululemon? Yeah, you're looking good, man.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
888 car.
Well, I was driving here in the Fiat. I didn't want to look like a bum. I got the car of cars.
Right, everyone's checking you
out.
You
gotta dress up when you get in that
car.
Well,
you do look good. Yeah, you do look good.
Top was down.
Yeah.
What else? Anyway,
does it go up? 888 Car Talk. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Curtis. I'm calling from Grass Valley, California.
Where's Grass Valley?
Grass Valley is about 60 miles, maybe 70 miles north and west of Lake Tahoe in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada. Quite
nice. Oh, wow. It sounds like an idyllic place.
Yeah, it's rather idyllic.
Yeah. So what's going on?
I asked my girlfriend to do my dirty work last week, which was to call you guys.
Oh.
I had a question. I wanted her to sort of problem solve a problem with my car.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, the conversation with you guys didn't turn into anything mechanical. It turned into sort of a relationship question.
What's her name?
Tara, T.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm the guy that was residing in the van.
Right.
Ah, yes.
Oh, right. We wanted to know what kind of a weirdo you were.
Oh, well, you did a great psychological profile last week, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, good.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head.
So I should remind people, the Tara called us. You can fill in the blanks, Curtis, I mean, or correct anything. But she was concerned because she had met you, and you were living in your Volkswagen van. And you claimed to have an apartment, but she had never seen the apartment. And we reassured her, I think, that there was no apartment.
And how you knew that piece of information, I'll never know, but you were right on.
Well, I think given the choice between an apartment and a van, I think most people would choose the apartment.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I don't think it was too much of a stretch.
No, not at all.
I don't know if we reassured her or worried her, but nonetheless, you're still on speaking terms with her.
Oh, we're on speaking terms, although it was only days after your conversation with her that our relationship dissolved. Not to say that you guys don't do an excellent job in relationship issues, and you do. But
but it's over? That's it?
It's over.
Oh.
Were we responsible for this?
No, I don't blame you guys in any fashion whatsoever.
Jeez. All right. So now Tara's out of the picture.
Yes, and this is really a mechanical question and a safety issue about my van.
Okay, go ahead.
What is
1987 Volkswagen Vanagon Westfalia pop top.
By the way, you could have avoided all of this relationship stuff had you called yourself.
Yes, you can include that in my next psychological profile.
Yeah.
87 VW van Westfalia.
And as you know, driving these things, essentially the driver is the hood ornament. Is it possible to retrofit airbags into a vehicle of this vintage?
Oh, brother.
As you may recall, I'm in the medical profession, and you know, seeing the ramifications of multiple motor vehicle accidents, I know where I'm potentially heading with this vehicle.
The answer to the question in short is no.
I think even in long, the answer is no.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you wanted them to work. I mean, you could put like airbag, you know, warning lights on the dashboard, and you could put a bumper stickers on the thing that said airbag equipped. But the truth of the matter is, you'd be hard pressed to get any system in there that functioned with any kind of reliability.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it takes millions of dollars of engineering to get these things to work correctly.
Yeah.
So there's a fat chance you're better off traveling with a beach ball.
So I should put a beach ball on my lap.
The beach ball between you and the steering wheel, of course, so you have a permanent airbag.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the safest thing you can do with this Vanagon is to leave it parked. Right? And no one's going to hit the thing while it's parked. Park in the corner of a parking lot. So are you still determined to live in this thing? Is that the deal?
I still exist in the van. That's correct.
You still exist in the van.
Yeah. It's a great existence.
And when did you begin to develop your fear of
crashing.
Of crashing, yeah.
I drove it from New Hampshire to California to attend school, and I think by the time I hit the New Hampshire-Massachusetts border, I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah. So you've known for quite a while. No, and I think everyone who drives one of these knows that it's playing Russian roulette.
Yeah, you know, thanks.
So, well, it is. It is. Every minute you drive, it just increases the chances that you're not going to drive it another minute.
Right.
And I think you need to have another vehicle. So you can use this as your residence and maybe park next to it a little, even a Hyundai.
Okay. Well, that's a good option.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even the smallest, cheapest car out there has a driver's side and a passenger side airbag, and it's probably a lot safer for a lot of different reasons than this thing is. It has side impact protection. It has front airbags, anti-lock brakes, and lots of safety things that your van doesn't have.
And your big problem now is going to be finding a place to park it forever, because you're going to have to take the plates off of it to put them on the car that you buy. And then you got to find a place that you can park it and not have it get towed. Or maybe you could put one plate. Never mind.
You know me too well.
Well, maybe you can park your Hyundai at Tara's.
Well, I will look at that, and if maybe I'll have her give you a call and you can give her some more advice.
So you haven't severed relationship with her.
No. It's all good.
It's all good. You're just not you're not really we won't get into
Never
it,
mind.
But you're not seeing each other right now, but you're
That's
in
correct.
Telephonic communication.
Correct.
All right. Well, keep us posted, Curtis.
Okay.
We're dying to know what's going on. See you later, man.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stacy from Marietta, Ohio.
Hi, Stacy.
Is it Stacy with an E-Y or just a Y?
Just a Y.
Just a Y. Marietta, Ohio?
Right.
Okay, what's going on, Stacy?
Well, a little bit of trivial information first. I am 40, even though I sound 14. I have no husband, no significant other. My father is clueless when it comes to vehicles, as am I. The car I have is a 2001 Buick LeSabre, and it's making these sounds. And I think if I took it, I'm so silly about cars that if they told me it was in labor, I would probably believe it.
How many miles roughly are on this car?
94 or so.
Okay, and what's up?
So when I turn the wheel to the left or to the right, my car sounds like the jets on a turboprop plane starting
up. Oh, really?
Yeah. And if I straighten it back out, there's not a sound at all. But if I remotely turn it one way or the other, it makes this whirring sound like that.
And does the noise change sides?
No. Either way, if I turn it left or right, but straight on, there's no sound.
But the sound always seems to be coming from the same side or different sides?
Well, if I had my windows down, I would hear it either direction. Yeah.
If I make the sound for you, maybe you can tell me if this is a sound you hear.
Okay. Yeah, kind of like that with a little too.
I'll give you a little. I'll give you the overtones. You ready?
Give her the.
Yeah, that's about perfect.
Yeah.
I was just clearing my throat, getting ready to do it. It sounds like you have a bad power steering pump.
You sure do.
Okay, and it's worse when it's colder.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, there you go.
It could also be the rack and pinion. Is it all difficult to steer when it's colder?
It is. For a few minutes. If I get out on the road, I'm going faster. Of course, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But if I'm going slower, of course, it's a little tighter to steer.
When you're moving along at highway speed and you change lanes, for example, you probably don't even hear the sound.
No, not at all.
Right, because it's first of all, it requires a lot less effort from the power steering pump to change lanes at high speed. And you're being drowned out by the road noise, too. You know, and the other motor is honking at you, telling you to go faster. but when you're on a city street or, you know, quiet area and you turn the wheel, you don't even have to be moving to hear this noise. You can just have the engine running, I imagine, and turn the wheel left and right and you probably get it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, you need the pump. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're lucky, you need the pump, and it's a few $100.
You got a mechanic?
I have no trustworthy mechanic. That's why I called you.
You need to go to the mechanics files. You need to visit our website, Car
Talk. Well, bring it here.
Okay, I'll be right over.
go to cartalk.com and find the area that says mechanics files.
And these are mechanics who have been recommended by people who listen to the show and go to the website.
And the thing is zip code driven. You know, you put your zip code in and you know, it'll find you somebody in your area that either is recommended by other listeners to Car Talk.
And
hopefully you'll hook up with, and there may be two or three in your area, and you can call them up and tell them, you can describe over the phone what you did to us right now and see if any of them knows the answer.
Okay.
And if they have an answer that agrees with us, run.
Yeah, tell them to call us. We'll explain it to them.
Good luck, Stacy.
Thank you.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
I happen not to remember, but thanks for asking.
Well, it was a little conundrum that I posed about a car that kept getting stolen and then returned.
Sounds like my car. I leave the keys in at night, someone steals it, drives around the block, brings it back. He leaves a nasty note for me, too.
Yeah, it says...
Clean it up inside.
Do something about the smell, too, will you, buddy?
Yeah.
No, the reason the car in my puzzle was returned had nothing to do with the smell. And we'll have the whole story.
And we'll have more of your calls, too.
Right, so stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
I got about two blocks down the road where my exhaust system decided to go. Then I noticed there was no seatbelt in the middle, no wiper fluid, and it was a diddle. I couldn't get the windows to go down, and the steering wheel didn't turn around. My LeSabre, my Buick LeSabre, it needs a new transmission and an ignition, and she shoots the emissions out the air conditioning, a new carburetor and a new radiator and an oil filtrator system. But my Buick LeSabre somehow still runs.
And even though Melissa Block searches and destroys all references to NPR on her Facebook page whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. Mm. This was from my Grand Theft Auto series, and it was sent in by a fellow named Kurt Anderson. He writes, this is a true story from when I was a student in Santa Barbara, California, in the early 70s. I've been saving it for your puzzler for over 35 years so the good people of Santa Barbara would have a chance to forget about it and not have an unfair advantage in winning the lousy CD or whatever you're giving away this week. Anyway, here are the details. Our listeners can be so cruel. A car was stolen off a used car dealer's lot in Santa Barbara. The car was found by the police and eventually returned to the dealer. A few days later, are you ready for this? The exact same car was stolen again. Again, the police found the car and it was returned to the dealer a second time. This time, however, a few days later, the owner of the used car dealership was arrested. The question is, why? You know, and just so you don't say, well, he was obviously, you know, an accomplice, just so you don't do that. He was not involved in any manner in either of the thefts, as either the thief or an accomplice or anything of that nature. But he clearly had committed some kind of a crime that he was arrested for. What was it?
That was the puzzler?
Yeah, now when I tried, yeah.
You would think I would have some vague memory of you saying those words last week.
My recollection is that you stepped out last week. I mean, not physically. You mentally stepped out.
I
can tell with a look in your face sometimes, say, yeah. Stepping out.
I have never seen that before.
Well, I
obviously heard it before.
Well, I'm sure of that.
Okay, well, I won't forget it this time.
Who cares? Well, when I tried this on the focus group, you know, the guys at the cafe, you know, they came up with, you know, well, there were contraband goods in it or was used in a robbery or something. But you would have no way to pin that on the owner of the used car lot. See, when a vehicle is reported stolen, The victim, or in this case, the used car dealer, provides the police with a description of the car. You know, the make, the model, the year, the color, the mileage, and any unusual characteristics, like, you know, bumper stickers. Or if one of your cars, for example, you'd
where the bumps are.
Or you'd say how many trees are growing out of the back seat, you know, when the convertible top is down.
That's
cetera,
true.
You know, right?
Yeah.
And
how many birds had been by this week?
Right. And made a deposit. Anyway, when the police recover the vehicle, they fill out a report which corroborates or verifies, you know, all this information to make sure they have found the correct car.
Yeah.
Well, when the car was recovered for the second time, the police report showed it had fewer miles on the odometer than it showed after the first incident. That's why they arrested the used car dealer. He had turned back the odometer and turned it back a little too far.
Oh, no kidding. That's not bad.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah. The winner this week is Ralph Sutter from Wilmington, Delaware. And for having his answer selected at random, from among all the correct answers that we got, Ralph will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get that lousy 4-CD set that Kurt referred to, which happens to be called Field Guide to the North American Wacko. Congratulations, Ralph. Nicely done.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, we'll ruin some more cars.
Yeah.
Give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is John from Bowie, Maryland.
Hi, John.
I have a 2006 Honda Accord with the 6-speed transmission.
Mm-hmm. Nice car.
Yeah, it actually is. And starting at about somewhere in the 20,000-mile range, I started noticing it popping out of third gear if I wasn't really careful about how I put it in third gear. So I took it to the dealer while it was still under warranty,
And
they said, oh, well, you know, have you changed the transmission fluid? Well,
no. Why would you do that at 20,000 miles?
Only got 20,000 miles on it.
And it's a standard shift and doesn't require it probably for maybe 60,000.
At least.
Yeah.
So I said, well, no, and then went ahead and had them change it because they said, yeah, that'll clear it up. Well, it did for a while, but then it came back. And I've got over 60,000 miles on the car now. And it started again. Well, it's been doing it for most of a year now. And I notice if it's cold, or if I haven't driven the car in a while, shift out of second into third, and sometimes you can feel that it doesn't quite go in.
Well, that's why it's popping out,
because
the synchronizer is probably worn out.
The funny thing is, though, if you hold it over to the left a little bit,
yeah,
as you're sliding it in, it almost never does that.
It never pops out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it may be that the shifter linkage is out of adjustment.
That's what it sounds like to me, especially since it was happening for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you use third gear a lot?
Well, only when I'm shifting up through. No, my weight.
I should rephrase that. Do you stay in third gear a lot?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No.
You're on the highway most.
No, most of the driving is highway driving.
Yeah, so you're working your way up the gear.
So have you gone back to the Honda dealer to complain?
Not yet.
Oh, I think you have to.
Yeah, it's time.
Well, it's time, and I think at this point they've got to do everything they can to adjust the shifter. And if they can't do anything, and I suspect there's not going to be anything they can do, they've got to take the transmission apart and replace that synchronizer.
Well, given that it started so early, wouldn't that be something covered by warranty?
I would think so. I would think if you have documentation to support the fact that this occurred during the warranty period.
And I guess they keep records of the fact that I came in.
Oh, you should. You don't have the record?
Oh, I have a receipt.
Oh, yeah, you do. That's all you need.
If I know Honda, they're going to fix this for you.
Well, that's kind of I was hoping because I've had Hondas in the past and been pretty happy with them.
Yeah.
Have you taken pictures of all these Hondas you've had in the past, so you can maybe bring some kind of a photo album with you when you go, and you know, maybe you with your 82 Civic, you know, and show them that you've
been
loyal.
You with all the money in your hand.
Well, I think it's important that you show that you've been a loyal Honda owner. And that you expect to be treated well as such.
Yeah, they are a pretty good company in that regard.
Yeah, right. They're very good about
that. Well, we'll
that.
Find out. Maybe we'll have you on Stump the Chumps, and you can vent if they don't fix it. I'm thinking they're going to take it apart and fix it for you.
Well, I hope so, because they sure weren't very amenable to that idea on the first go-around.
Huh. Well, you may have to move up the ranks and talk to somebody else. You may have to talk to the zone representative.
zone representative?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, at this point...
If you can't find anybody right there at the dealership who's willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got a good leg to stand on. Because you've been a good Honda owner all these years, you had the problem at 20,000 miles, you did what they asked you to do, it kind of started to come back while you were still in the warranty period, but you were hoping against hope that it would go away, and when it didn't, even though you're now over, you're expecting to fix it. That's my story, and I'd stick with it. Good luck, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Right. Let us know how you make out.
All right. I'll call back.
Great. Yeah. He'll be calling us from jail. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Have you always wondered how hard you should push? You know.
I don't know how many. He's had a lot of Hondas, but maybe different dealerships.
Yes.
Maybe these guys don't know what a wonderful customer he is.
Maybe. That's why I suggested the photo album. I'm about to divulge something our cousin Ron Caloresso told me some years ago. See, he has these magic words.
Yeah.
And I guess I shouldn't share these with everybody, but I'm going to because we value that.
You're
going to
blab on him?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? He's your cousin.
So whenever you're in a situation like this, he said, and you speak to the person that you believe is a person of authority, he said, use these words. They never fail. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm in trouble, and I need your help.
Oh, really?
He said, use them sparingly. Don't go throwing them around. I mean, you can't use them every place. Can't use them at Starbucks.
I'm not sure this is an appropriate
Well, no, he's asking to get some warranty work done, even though he's out of warranty. So when he speaks to the zone rep.
What's his trouble?
His trouble is he needs a transmission rebuild. It's going to be $3,000,
and
he needs someone's help. I'm in trouble.
And I need your help.
I need your help.
And Ronnie sent me.
No, oh, that too. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Sorry, Ron. Are you in trouble, and do you need our help?
I do. This is Amy from Franklin, Tennessee, and I'm in trouble, and I need your help.
Well, I think every caller should use those words. That one. What's your name?
Amy from Franklin, Tennessee.
Hi, Amy. What's going on?
What's up?
Well, I have a 2000 Chevy Venture, and for about 3 weeks, it has had a noticeable gasoline odor from the outside of the car. And it's the heaviest, I would say, on the driver's side, the back door.
Is the check engine light on?
No, it's not.
It's not. And how long has this been going on, the smell?
I would say about 3 to 4 weeks. And my husband said, oh, I think it's the coolant. He was convinced, so we had it taken in. And, of course, he convinced them, I think, so they changed the auxiliary water pump for $800. And I still smell it. So that was not the issue. It really is a gasoline.
But John knows it's gasoline, and he thought
was
not gasoline.
Right, but I've had 4 or 5 other people who have, even as you just walk up to the van, probably 3 to 6 feet away, you begin to smell it, and they've said, no, that's noticeable gasoline.
Does it have a sweetness to the smell?
No, I mean, it just smells like if you get gas on your hand.
I trust you, Amy, that you can differentiate. It's your knucklehead husband.
And screwed up everything.
And these bozos that he took it to that replaced the water pump that you didn't need. I trust you do have a gasoline leak, and it ought to be pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't see anything dripping on the ground.
Right. We've checked. There's nothing dripping. There's no spills. Like, I've even washed it inside and out. Thought, well, maybe I spilt it somewhere when I was filling up.
That would be gone.
Be gone by now.
Okay.
Unless you spilled
it
on your pants.
Yeah, and you're wearing the same pants.
And I wear them for the last month, right.
Yeah.
My brother had in his Fiat a gasoline leak. Fiat had the good sense to run the gas line from the tank inside the passenger compartment. So it ran along the floor and then went through the firewall. And of course, you know, if you have a Fiat long enough.
Most cars, well,
I don't know why
underneath
you'd,
the car, right, but it's not in the Fiat.
And in your Venture, it's underneath, too. But in the Fiat.
Okay.
They ran it inside the car where the passenger and the driver would sit. And if you owned the car long enough and it got rusty like Fiats are wont to do, the gasoline line rusts out because it's made out of metal. And he had a small gasoline leak. And he shows up one day at the station having smoked a cigar.
Oh, no.
And even though the cigar smell is usually overwhelming, We noticed, Doug Berman and I noticed, that he smelled of gasoline. And we said, you've been rolling around in gasoline? He said, I don't smell a thing. And when I went to look at his car, he had a little puddle about, oh, I don't know, maybe about an inch deep.
It was gasoline.
We could have lost you.
I could have dropped a cigar.
And that would have been the...
Someone had cut me off on my way here...
And the cigar fell down between your legs...
The whole thing would have blown up.
That would have been the end of... Tommy, you lucky guy. So anyway, Amy, before this happens to you, you need to get this thing in someplace. And the easiest way to detect fuel leaks, especially ones that are vapor and not liquid, is with an emissions tester.
Okay. It should be easy to detect.
It should be fairly easy. It should be, and you're going to fix it. Because it's bad for the environment to have these molecules of unburned hydrocarbons just escaping into the air. And you know they are, because if you can smell them, they're escaping.
Right.
And it's also dangerous.
Well, these constant headaches we all have.
The headaches.
Oh, no, that's going to blow up.
The memory loss.
The memory loss and the explosion. It's all bad.
Right, all the, you know, doing foolish stuff like making phone calls to us, you know, all those things. are all earmarks of hydrocarbon poisoning.
Yeah, but this is serious, really. So,
so have them sniff it. Have them sniff it with the emissions tester, and if they do that, they'll find the leak in no time.
Okay.
All righty?
Great. Thank you so much.
See you, Amy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, this is Gene from Long Island.
Hi, Gene from Long Island.
How
What's going
on?
It's just a whole island, or is there a specific...
I'm in a little town called Holtsville, where you pay your taxes.
Oh. That's it, huh?
That's it.
Okay, we'll just call it Long Island. It's good enough for us.
There you go.
So what's going on?
I have a 99 Ford F-150 pickup truck. It has 83,000 miles. And as I'm driving along, I have my air conditioning on. I'll stop at a traffic light. You hear the heated door close. Boom. And all of a sudden, I have heat, no more air conditioning. Then you'll be driving on a highway, it works fine. But now it's getting a little colder. It's working the opposite. When I have the heat on, you'll stop at a light, you'll hear thump, the door closes.
And the air conditioner's on.
And the air conditioning comes on. Even though I'm not changing any of the dials on the dashboard, you know, the little blue and red heater dial, I'm not touching it. But it's not working.
Have you tried driving backwards?
Driving backwards. Yeah, that might work. I'll try that later.
Well, that door you hear closing is something called the blend door.
Blend door.
Okay, and what that does is it allows outside air to blend in with the heated air or the conditioned air. And that blend door, I believe, on your F-150 is operated by vacuum. By suction. So somewhere you've got either a blend door motor that isn't working, and when the vacuum reaches a certain point, for example, when you're idling.
That's when it seems to have the problem. That's when it seems to happen. At high speed, it seems to work fine.
Okay.
It's when I stop and I idle that the door closes.
All right. So I'm guessing now that the high vacuum is supposed to keep the door open.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm guessing that you're not getting enough.
You got a leak.
You've got a vacuum leak. Yeah, either you've got.
None of us are getting enough. So go
you got a vacuum leak. You've got a vacuum leak at either at the motor or one of the hoses going to it or the control thing on the dash.
Okay.
So this might not be so easy to find out, but you got a couple of weekends where you're not doing anything.
Now I do.
Now you do. You got to start taking this thing apart. I would look under the hood first and make sure that the vacuum hose that leads to all this stuff is intact.
Intact.
Okay, and then you got to just start.
Then you got to go underneath.
You got to go under the dash. Yeah.
All right, we'll give it a shot.
All right, put on your steel-toed shoes and give it a shot.
Thanks, guys.
All right, G. Good luck, man.
Bye, bye.
All right, look, we need to take a short break before the new puzzle, but I also want to remind folks that Car Talk is also available on a podcast every week from our website, cartalk.com.
Now, why should anybody want a podcast of this show? In case they miss it on the air? Most people consider themselves lucky if they miss our show.
Well, that's true, but the podcast gives them one thing that our radio broadcast doesn't.
What's that?
The satisfaction of hitting the delete button.
All right. Tell us what the new puzzle is about.
Well, the new puzzler is from my Travel and Leisure series.
Ah, yes.
And we'll be back with that and more of your car questions in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Slow down, little Jaguar, into a little Thunderbird Ford. Cruise the 10-mile stretch on the Indiana Road. The sky blue Jaguar, Thunderbird Ford. Jaguar setting on 99, trying to beat the bird to the county line. Just a half a mile from Lutonsville. Top of the hill, 35 miles, you stay aligned. Jaguar Thunderbird never made a sign. Slow down, little Jaguar, keep cool, little Thunderbird Ford. Now Lula's been
Thunderbird Ford.
And even though NPR's president gets out his magnifying glass and takes another desperate look at the fine print in our contract whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back.
Don't wake me up like that.
You're listening to Car Talk. I know, you shouldn't be startled at your age. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
This was sent in by a fellow named Jeff Ross, and you're not going to believe this.
I never believe anything you say.
But I didn't monkey with this or obfuscate it one iota.
Really?
No.
You mean the guy who sent it in is as wacko as that?
No, but he's figured me out.
Oh, excellent.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Last summer, I took a vacation at an inclusive resort. I'll explain what that is. Each day, I was given a complimentary voucher good for either a round of golf in the morning, that, or a massage in the afternoon, but I could only have one or the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so every morning, here's your voucher.
Here's your voucher. Do whatever you want with it.
Okay. Well, because I was on vacation, I took my days at a leisurely pace. Five of the mornings, I slept in.
Ah.
And seven of the afternoons I spent lounging by the pool bar. Could think of a better place to lounge, right?
Ah.
Some days I golfed, some days I got a massage, other days I did nothing at all for the whole day.
Yeah.
When I checked out, it turns out I had only used 8 of my vouchers. How many days was I at the resort? Now I'm going to do it again. Because there are numbers you have to remember.
Yeah, well, I have some questions already.
Where is the place? Is that one of them?
No. I got a better question than that, but go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, you may answer it for me.
Each day I was given a voucher good for either a round of golf in the morning or a massage in the afternoon. So if I wanted to play golf in the afternoon, I couldn't do that. All right, that was one of your questions. But I could only have one or the other, right?
Yeah.
Being on vacation, I took my days at a leisurely pace. Five of the mornings, I slept in, and I clearly didn't play golf on those mornings, right?
Uh-huh.
And seven of the afternoons, I spent lounging by the pool. Those afternoons, I didn't get a massage, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? Some days I golfed, some days I got a massage, and others I did nothing at all.
Yeah.
When I checked out, I had only used 8 of my vouchers.
Really?
How many days was I at the resort? Now, if you think you know the answer, I'm not giving you any more hints or help, or I ain't answering no stinking questions. If you think you know the answer, write it on a DR Rapid Feed Pro electric start wood chipper with oversized hopper, extended discharge chute, Super Duty cogged drive belt, commercial grade centrifugal clutch, solid steel flywheel, of course, Pro-Spec chipper knife, and a Briggs & Stratton overhead valve engine, and send it along with a collector's edition DVD copy of Fargo to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from Seattle, Washington. I have a question on a 1998 Toyota Sienna.
Hi, Mark. Are you having as much fun today as we're having?
Well, absolutely. I would even answer your Puzzler, but I don't have a copy of Fargo, so I'm not going to even try.
All right. So,
noticed that you had a little trouble with your own name. Are you sure your name is Mark, or are you faking it?
No, not faking
it. Is it Mark with a C or a K? Quick.
It's with a K.
All right.
Okay, what's up?
My wife drives a 1998 Toyota Sienna. And it's the kids' conveyance. It's what she drags the two daughters around in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And every once in a while, I'll begrudgingly take this thing out because I completely hate minivans and disassociate myself with it as much as I possibly can. But every once in a while, when I take it to the store on an errand, I'll get back into the car, and it won't shift out of park. You know, how you have to press on the parking brake to get it out of park to begin with, pretty much any car I've ever owned. And it's like the solenoid won't pull out of the steering column or something like that.
But you're pressing on the foot brake to get it out of park.
Yes, the foot brake. It's an automatic. So.
Yeah. And when this happens, are you on a hill of any kind?
No, usually the last time it happened was a flat parking lot in a Safeway with a bunch of ice cream. So
then what did you do? So you had melting ice cream in the car. Then what did you do?
Well, usually I'd get the phone call from my wife asking me why it was taking me so long, and I'd say, "Well, the thing won't move." And she go, "Yeah, right. You always take forever." And but
wait, this never happens to her?
No, she doesn't believe it actually has ever happened at
all.
To
you either, yeah.
Just taking too much time.
Right, getting away from her and the kids.
Yeah. Anyway, what I usually do to fix it is I'll pump on the parking brake until sometimes you'll hear like almost like a coiled spring kind of ping sound, and after that it'll usually shift out of park and off I go. It's completely random. Sometimes, you know, it hasn't happened to me in about a month or so, but I'm sure I'm due any day now.
How many total times has it happened to you?
At least four or five.
And never happened to your wife?
No. Or at least she hasn't admitted that it's happened.
She hasn't admitted that it's happened. Yeah. Maybe she's trying to drive you crazy.
Probably.
I don't know why it isn't happening to her. It should be. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, there's a switch attached to the brake pedal that frees up the shifter.
Yeah.
And it, I'm not so sure it's a switch or maybe a cable on this thing, because the shifter is on the column, right?
Yes, it is.
The shifter is on the column, so it may be a cable. But why it happens to you and not to her, I cannot explain. I can't honestly say that I've ever fixed one of these on a Sienna, so I don't know how the thing is set up. But it's, you know, all cars have either a cable or they do it mechanically or electrically. And basically what it's doing is it's moving a pin out of a slot, which allows then the shifter to be moved out of park.
Okay.
And without the movement of that pin, you ain't going anyplace.
Right.
So it may have something to do with the fact that because you dislike this vehicle so much
that you're doing something.
That you're doing something that she isn't doing. And I'm guessing what you're doing is you're slamming this thing into park.
You're saying I have an abusive relationship
with
my vehicle.
Yeah, you could be. You,
but next time you do it, if you try very gently to put it into park, see if the same thing happens.
Well, you might not know. You know, or you could experiment. Half the time you park, you should gently put it into park. And the other times you should, animalize it. And if you can find a one-to-one correspondence between the times you treat it like an animal and it's locking up on you, I would assume that it's you.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that that's the way it should behave.
Oh, it's him.
It may be that it's worn out and that you're just exacerbating it by the way you slam it into park.
Yeah, the thing's got 175,000 miles on it, so.
Yeah, I think you should buy your wife a new vehicle.
This is the one she wanted.
I know, she wanted it in 98, but it's 10 years old now.
We only bought it a year ago. She actually wanted it for, she had like a little home babysitting business, and we, over the summer, watching other people's kids, and, you know, the small car that we had didn't. She picked this 1998 Toyota Sienna over a 2006 Ford Focus that we had.
Really?
Yeah.
But look, before you get, inevitably, this is going to be a problem for her.
Right.
Then you're going to get the phone call, and you're going to be really ticked off, because if she hears the show, she's going to know that you knew of the existence of this problem and didn't get it fixed. So I think you got to get this thing fixed, whatever it takes, pronto, before it happens to her, because once it happens to her, you're a dead man.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll go with that.
Yeah. So I would get it fixed, and it's never going to get better.
Okay. And is this something that I need to take to a shop, or is it something that I can tackle at home?
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't mess with it.
I wouldn't tackle this at home, because then she really would be ticked off
at you
when the car's disabled in the driveway for 2 months. I would take it to the shop.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, man.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Annie from Park City, Utah.
Hi, Annie.
Park City.
Where is Park City?
It's up in the mountains.
It almost doesn't matter because we don't know anything about Utah.
I have been to Utah.
Well, have you?
Oh,
and you know where Park City is?
No.
Have you ever heard of Park City before? No.
Well, I'm about to hear all about it. You shut up for a minute. Annie's going to tell us. Forget it. What's on your mind,
Annie? Okay, Annie.
Okay, so I have a 2002 Jeep Liberty.
Uh-huh.
And the other day I was driving on the highway and a sound like a fart came from my hood. I have a witness. It sounded like someone was passing gas.
It came from under the hood, the sound?
Yeah, it did. It did. That's what it sounded like.
All right.
Since then, every time I take my foot off the accelerator, my RPMs drop really low, and that has never happened before.
Okay. Could you make the noise again for us, Annie?
Okay. It sounded like...
Oh, just like that. Quick.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was a rather refined little fart.
It was. Polite.
It was a polite little.
It was a polite one.
And that was the duration of it. So it was a second.
Yeah, very short.
But
yeah.
But it was audible over the sound of the engine. How fast were you going when this happened?
45.
45. And you were accelerating or decelerating?
I was maybe neither.
Neither. So you were
just going along at 45 miles an hour. And
yep.
Okay, we got it now.
So what I think happened was a vacuum hose came off someplace.
Okay.
And it could have fallen off, but the either that or a vacuum hose broke. And that was what made the farting noise. That.
And the noise never came back again, right?
No, it didn't.
It was just that one time.
For example, if you had a vacuum hoses are rubber hoses that go all over the place under the hood and operate various devices, not the least of which is your power brakes. In certain cases, your heater controls are operated by vacuum, and some emission devices are operated by vacuum. And when one of these hoses collapses and actually develops a hole in it, it'll often develop a crease in it, which will act like a musical instrument.
Yeah.
You know? And so as air gets sucked in through this crack in the hole, you'll get this sound or that farting sound because of the entire time the engine is running now, it's just pulling this in. But you only get it maybe that first when that hole first appears. But what's happening now is you have air going into some place where it shouldn't be going in. And it's upsetting the entire fuel injection system.
Okay.
You need to open the hood and listen for a hissing noise.
Okay.
While the engine is running.
Be careful you don't stick your fingers any place.
And make sure it's not. There's a lot of snakes in Utah, so it could be a snake. In fact, take it someplace.
You know, okay.
And tell them you suspect you have a vacuum leak because of what happened. And they'll say, oh, yeah. They'll figure it out.
All right.
See you, Annie.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8.
You've been to Utah?
I have. I have. I've been to Salt Lake City. I've been to Moab. Yeah, I've been to Utah, man.
What's there?
I don't remember. Well, Moab, we went to, what was up at Moab? Arches National Park, which is a beautiful place and, nature. I know you wouldn't be into it. There were no cafes, no sidewalks, and no concrete.
Oh, forget it. Okay. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Fernando. How you guys doing?
We're good, Fernando. What's going on?
Hey, not much. I heard your show the other day, and I was on a long ride, and you guys are really entertaining.
Oh, you've only listened to once, eh?
Yeah. That's how bored I was.
Wait, what's going on? Did you tell us
where you're from?
Well, I'm a federal police officer. I'm stationed in the sub-base up in St. Mary's, Georgia. But I'm down here with my wife in Miami now. Now I'm in her car. She got a Lexus. But my problem is with my Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
The air conditioner went out. With the price of gas these days, I said, the hell with the air conditioner. I just transferred the belt where I eliminated the air conditioning. And she was running around with the windows open, this cloth thing that's got on the roof. And all of a sudden, I thought I was getting shorter, but what it was is the roof was coming down on my head.
the headliner is falling down.
Yeah, that's it, the headliner. But for real, I thought I was getting shorter because I kept looking in the mirror. And I said, damn, the roof is, And what I want to know is, did I just tear that damn thing down? Or is there a way I could do it myself?
Well, how old is this Jeep?
It's a 98.
10 years old.
Well, you could have a new headliner installed.
Okay.
Or you can rip that one out and forget about it.
It'll be pretty ugly if you tear it off.
Well, it's uglier now because people drive by me and they stare.
I think what might be a better solution, well, you might want to take it to a body shop and see if they can do something for cheap. I mean, a new headliner, I'm pretty sure in this vehicle, is going to require taking one of the windshields out.
Right.
Because it's the only way you're going to get the thing in. Okay. Actually, the simplest and cheapest thing to do is to cut holes in this thing so you can get some adhesive in there. So if you cut a few slits in it, you might be able to get enough adhesive in there so you can glue it back on. And then where you've cut it, won't even be visible.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty good, because my 14-year-old came up almost something similar, but he wanted just for me to stick my head in a damn hole.
you could do that,
He's
too.
Close.
makes it tough to drive, but a body shop may have a more creative solution. Either that or you buy a bunch of 2x4s and shore the thing up. Good
duct
luck,
tape.
Fernando.
I was thinking of duct tape. Hey, thank you, guys. You guys are great. Take care, guys.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Mm. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Miami-Dade, Minute Maid, Gatorade, Marmalade, Holla Braid, Fish Filet, Sushi Grade, Buffet Blockade, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tom's memory coach is you, Sherlock Familia. Our help desk coordinator is Dan DeFino. Our retirement party planner is Louisa Jolly Goodfellow. Our communications specialist from the Rome office is K.C. Deitch. Our used car salesman is Alexis It's Not. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the panhandling eye bankers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 840, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, are you expecting a new bundle of joy?
You mean like another Fiat?
No, that's a pile of joy, not a bundle. No, this week at cartalk.com, we have lots of tips for mums with cars.
Yeah, we interview Kristen Varela, the founder of a new website called Motherproof.
Yeah, and we learn how to remove dried milk stains from upholstery, how to fish Cheerios out of air conditioning vents, and which cars have the best and worst child seat latch systems.
Actually, you know, this stuff will be useful for when I have to drive my brother around.
Car tips for moms all this week at CarTalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Jimmy Dean chokes on a premium pork sausage whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.